Father, we give you the praise and the honor tonight. We worship you, we honor you, we adore you. Be glorified, be honored, be adored in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you visit someone today. We ask that no one person will leave here the same. Speak to us, mold us, change us. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands.
Go with me alone. As it will seem good unto you. Do with me, O Lord, whatever you may choose.
Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Please, I'll be seated in the presence of the Lord. We thank God for a day like this, and we thank Him for the second anniversary of the commanding the day midnight prayer. Life's destinies touched and changed all over the world, and we say to Him be all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Somebody say a loud amen. This evening, we shall be speaking very, very sharply on the subject of the fuel of character. The fuel of character. The fuel of godly character. The fuel. Our objective is to understand the factors and the forces that fuel character. The factors, the forces that fuel character. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fuel of character. This night, it is important to note that godly character is fueled by certain factors and forces. Factors and forces. Godly character is fueled by certain factors and forces. Factors and forces that people of character possess. Factors and forces that people without character lack. Factors and forces that make people to walk in character effortlessly. Factors and forces that when people lack, they struggle to behave well. They struggle. They are not too strange or far-fetched. So when a person possesses these factors and forces, they walk and live in character effortlessly. Almost 99% of their decisions are already made. In the face of compromise, they don't struggle to know what to do. What are these factors? And what are these forces? Number one is the fear of God. The fear of God is a factor that enhances positive or godly character. We read it earlier on Proverbs 8:13. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That is, the fear of God makes people to hate evil.
Pride.
Arrogance in the evil way. Forward mouth. How many of you have ever seen a situation where somebody is trying to squeeze bribe money into somebody's hand? You are not the one giving it, but something inside you hates it. You're angry at it. I remember my days in the university. I see people smoking. I felt like going to collect a cigarette from their hand. I felt like that almost all the time. That fear makes you are not just not participating in evil, you hate evil. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God, and because of that fear of God, he eschewed evil. He spewed out evil. That is, he won't swallow evil. He eschewed, he was averse, he was allergic to evil. That was the testimony of Job. In Genesis 42 verse 18, we saw the testimony of Joseph when he said, and he said unto them, the third date, this do and live, for I fear God. I fear God. I fear God. That was the testimony of Joseph. Now in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to verse 14, the Bible said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The meaning is, if you fear God, you will keep his commandment. You will not struggle to keep his commandment. Reverence God. Respect God. And you will easily do what he expects you to do. So everybody who wants to walk in godly character must continuously pray for the fresh baptism of the fear of God. The fresh baptism of the fear of God. If I am losing your fear, Lord, please bring me back to track. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, one of the seven dimensions of the Spirit of God is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's a dimension of the Spirit of God. Father, let your spirit walk on me afresh in the dimension of the fear of the Lord. Let me not be familiar with God. Let me not take God for granted. Let me not take the mercy of God. I know that God is a merciful God, and I also know that God is a terrible God. You say, let's walk acceptably with godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I believe that was Hebrews chapter 13, verse 27, 28, thereabout. For our God is a consuming fire. Let us walk acceptably with godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. And so the first of these forces is the force. I thought you looked up that scripture in Hebrews. Pull it up. 28 and 29. He said, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Our God is a consuming fire. He is a loving God, but he's a consuming fire as well. So we walk with that balance of a loving God and a consuming fire. The fear of God is a fuel for character. Number two is the love of God. Or love for God. The love of God or love for God, it drives us to please God. Love for God drives man to please God. Love for God makes man to avoid anything that will hurt God, anything that will displease God. Love for God. Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 11. He said in Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. They and were created. I was created for his pleasure, so I love him enough to ensure I give him pleasure with my life. Love for God. Love for God. Matthew 3 and in verse 17, Jesus loved his Father to the point where he gave pleasure to his Father. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus loved his Father and he pleased his Father. In Mark chapter 12 and in verse 29 and in verse 30, Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30, he said, and Jesus answered him, one man came and said, what is the best of all the commandments? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, the man was expecting to hear, out of the 10 commandments, which one should I focus? Is it thou shalt not steal? Thou shalt not kill? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's things? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Which one should I face? He said, all those 10 commandments are inside two. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Once you do, you keep these two, you don't need to remember the rest. You don't need to remember the rest. Love for God, love for God, love for God makes you want to please your maker. It makes you want to spend and be spent for him. It makes you want to know, what is it, Lord, you want from me? What do you want me to do? Love for God. And Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. One of the assignments of the Holy Spirit is to saturate man's heart with love for God. Every time we pray in tongues or we walk in the Holy Spirit, we are saturating our hearts with love for God. So, we are asking the Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me to walk in a greater dimension of love for God. Dimension of love for God, such as I have not walked in before. That is a prayer to pray. Let me love God afresh. Like we are talking about the fear of God afresh, let's experience the love of God afresh. So that is love for God. And then of course we saw the other one there as well. That is number three, is love for man. Love for man. Love for man causes us to avoid hurting others. Love for man. Many criminals are loveless. No love for God, no love for people. 419, fraud, dupes. Not to talk of armed robbers or hired killers or ritual killers. The heart is bankrupt of love for God, bankrupt of love for man. Or the one that walks into somebody's house, drives away the wife and marries the man, or vice versa. The heart is bankrupt of love. That is, you won't do to somebody what you don't want somebody to do to you. That was what the Bible says. So, love for man causes us to do to others only what we expect others to do to us. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, the Bible said, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Love for man. Romans 13 verse 8 to verse 10. Romans 13 verse 8 to verse 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill, or no harm, or no hurt to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love fulfills the law. when we love our neighbor. And last, I believe it was last year that in this area of character month, I dealt extensively with the issue of love. The whole world is running up upside down because love is bankrupt. There is love. That love disappeared from the earth. You see, and God created the world, and God is love. So love created the earth. And the earth cannot run without love. So everything is malfunctioning. Everything is running upside down because love is in scarce supply. Beloved, just ask God. See, why do some of us go the extent we go? You know, after we finish commanding the midnight prayer time, people are still waiting for prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Till this service, we finish all the receive. People have received. People have blind saw, deaf heard. Here, people are waiting. Out there, people are waiting. Car park, people are waiting. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You almost get discouraged at times. But the pain of people keep you going. The challenge of people, the frustration, the depression, the wickedness of the devil against people just keeps driving you. Huh? The easiest thing to do is to preach and go. Is to teach people principles and let them go and apply themselves. That's the easiest thing to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? And without trying to be anything, there are places you don't, when you expect to be, I mean, you need prayer for this, for sickness, it doesn't come to mind. No, I mean, it's not, and there's no challenge, there's no crime. One pastor said that there was a meeting where they asked people to come and pray for the sick. And when he came, he started asking, what's your problem? He said, headache. He said, in Jesus' name, be healed. What of you? I cannot hear. Okay, it's not for me. What of you? Oh, this one cannot see. Let me. He's dodging. Hallelujah. And that applies to every other dimension of our lives. Why are times when people are sick or people are afflicted and we are crying here like babies? Huh? When you see us outside such circumstances, we are tough like lions. Huh? If it is time to confront anything evil, you confront it like a tiger. Somebody is afflicted or you break down like a baby. Do you understand what I'm saying? That same thread runs in every single thing. How a man can become a terror in his family is a challenge. Wife is fearing him. Children are fearing him. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's coming, they are running. I told somebody, I said, if your children, girl children, decide that they will not marry because of how bad the home was or how bad a man you are, and they leave it anyway the one because of how terrible you are, when you meet God, what will you tell him? I've said that to many people here and there. Because children are the heritage of the Lord. They belong to God. They don't belong to us. We are caretakers. We manage them and hand them over to God at the end. See, why did you mismanage my property? Hallelujah. So this love for man is something we need to trust God. That was one prayer that Raya Monkey prayed for me many years ago. God, what you felt when you were sending your son to die on the cross, put a little of it in this your son's heart. Jesus, what you felt for the world while you were hanging on the cross of Calvary, put a little in his heart. Just a measure. Love for man. Number four thing that will help in fueling character is the company of God. The company of God. Keeping the company of God or keeping company with God at the place of prayer
at the place of communion, at the place of worship, transforms character. Keeping the company of God. Keeping company with God. The company of God is what I said. Keeping the company of God, or keeping company with God, at the place of prayer, at the place of communion, intimacy, at the place of worship, transforms character. Psalm 17 verse 15, Psalm 17 verse 15, the Bible said in Psalm 17 verse 15, it says, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'm looking at you, so I begin to look like you. We are together. I will wake in thy likeness. Luke chapter 9 verse 29, Jesus was at the mountain of transfiguration in the presence of God, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment represents character and all of that, became white and glistering. Not that he was a sinner, but that transformation shows us something that happens in the presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, we all, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. As association brings assimilation. This is a point. Nearness to God brings out the best from man. Nearness. You can tell that a person is close to God by how fine and refined his character is. You can tell that a person is close to God by how fine and refined his character is. Nearness to God brings the best from man. Distance from God releases the worst out of man. The worst of man. You can tell that a person is far from God by the language they speak. I went, I think, to the village or to a meet, to somewhere, someday, sometime. And when I saw people talk, I said, so this kind of talk still exists. You know the way, you know, in the village, there is a way they call some tribes that is not their name. I don't know if you understand. When they are referring to a particular tribe, there is a very terrible word they may use for them. I remember some, but I don't want to call it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I was there, and I saw them calling. I said, so this kind of language exists. And this was coming from a so-called Christian. So that person, that's from so and so. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Maybe it's not in your own place. Very terrible, insultful, abusive description of a tribe. It's everywhere. Those were the kind of language they were using, making reference of that person that is of so and so. I say, So people still talk, because I don't remember the last time I heard such a thing in 20 or 30 years. Kai, the whole, I was shocked. I said, so I'm now a stranger in this whole setting. There was a time where to me it was normal, but now it is totally strange. There was a time growing up as a child. That is what happens. When you are close to God, there are languages you can't use. If you go to America and someplace, the cuss word, that was they call cuss words, it comes out effortlessly. There are some I can't even repeat. Cuss words. Three of and four letter words. Very normal, effortless. There is the refinement. God is fine. He's such a fine God. So when you get close to him, you get refined. When you are far from him, you are raw. You are raw. Wasn't he who took raw earth and turned it into fine man? And then took rib and turned it into refined woman. Man is fine. Woman is refined from creation. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It's refined. That is why the woman can take their time all the time for many, many things. Just take their time all the time. How many of you see that here? Your wife comes to your wife prepares for church earlier than yourself, except you are a retarded man. By the time you are set to go, maybe, are we set, madam? And this is the character of all women. So refined. How many of you know that it took Sapphira 3 hours to come to church after Ananias has arrived? The Bible says, after Peter had finished with Ananias, 3 hours later, Madam arrived service. If she came with Ananias, he would not have lied. But he didn't know what has happened before. It didn't start today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody shout the loud most amen. So the company of God is very, very critical. The company of God. Number 5 is the right company. The right company. The right human company. Now, the other one I mentioned was the company of God. Now, is the right human company. It affects your character. All I need to know is who is your friend. And I can tell you who you are. Many years ago, a woman came to me. She's tired of her home and she wants to leave. What happened? I think her first child was around 10 or 12 years then. What is happening? Husband is this and that. When we investigated later, her friend is a divorced woman. Her friend. On one of those last occasions when she told her friend, I am tired of this. I want to go back to my father's house. The statement of her friend is, do you have transport money? That thing was handled 20-something years ago. They have grandchildren now. Still married and doing well. Your company affects your character. Your company affects your mindset. And your company affects your choices. The decisions you make, the choices you make, they are affected by who can be called your friend. Many people made the wrong choices because of their friendship. Somebody should have been married now, but her friend talked to her against the man or against the woman. Somebody should have gotten a job, but the friend said, oh no, it's better to be jobless than to do this kind of work. It's all manner. Somebody is rebelling against the husband because her friend said, oh, this is what my own husband do for me. If he doesn't bring it, nothing. Say, is that how your husband is treated? Are you a slave? You are the reason why he's doing you like that. You are the reason. He has found Mumu. Before you know it, she returns back home. Husband said, madam, he said, mm-hmm. The man cleaned his eyes. Am I seeing the same person?
this one coming from?
I said, what's going on? Say, with who?
I can't understand. Do you need an interpreter? So the man who just carry his thing and disappear. Let me come and calm down my head first. Let me.
Hallelujah.
Just if you don't want your character to be tampered with, be careful who you call friend. Don't manage friendship. Don't manage it. Love people. Value people. Respect people. But select your friends.
Even marital relationship. There are people you will marry that will disconnect you. There are some people married, it disconnected them completely from friend, family. One wife entered, one husband entered, and this person is now an island. She no longer has a friend, and she no longer has family. Doesn't talk to mother, father. So when calamity hits, it's alone.
It's alone.
Just isolated like Uriah the Hittite. He said, push Uriah to the front and withdraw from him, that he will be smitten and die. And isolation is before destruction. Whenever the enemy wants to destroy anybody, he isolates them.
Hallelujah.
Please. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20. It said, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed.
There are people destroyed because of who their company is.
Improve in Psalm 1 verse 1 all the way to verse 3. If you read that passage, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Because he's not walking in these people's ways, he can delight in the law of the Lord. Do you see that? His delight is in the law of the Lord. If he was walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the way of sinners, I'm sure you can see that his life was progressing until he settled. Look at this. Start again. The man was walking before he heard the counsel of the ungodly. Are you hearing me? He was walking before he heard the counsel of the ungodly. From walking, he stood in the way of sinners. After standing for a while, he sat in the seat. How can somebody move from walking to sitting? Life was going down because of company who surrounds him. Progress that ended in stagnation because of company. All right? But if he decides not to walk like that, his delight can be in the law of the Lord. His delight can be in the law of the Lord. His delight can be in the law of the Lord. His delight.
Who you walk with determines your walk with God. Did you hear what I just said? Who you are walking with affects your walk with God. There are people that will make you walk better with God. And there are people that will destroy your walk with God. Some will make you walk better with God. Some will destroy your walk with God. Proverbs 27:17 said, iron sharpeneth iron. So does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. When they beheld the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them. that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus changed these people's lives. And of course, Isaiah 15 and in verse 33, Isaiah 15, 33, he said, be not deceived. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Evil association will destroy. So, fuel for character, number one, the fear of the Lord. Number two, love for God. Number three, love for man. Number four, the company of God. Number five, the right human company. Number six, the word of God. The word of God is a fuel. The word of God. Two things about the word. First, the word is a cleanser and a purifier of character. Because the word is water. Ephesians 5:26. That he might purify, sanctify, cleanse with the washing of water by the word. So the word cleanses, it cleans us up. The word cleans us, purifies us. And then secondly, the word gives us principles to live by. Principles to live by. Principles to live by. Principles to walk with. This is how to live. This is how not to live. This one is right. This one is not right. The word gives us principles. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, we saw that already. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Because of that, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And also because his delight is in the law of the Lord, he is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He cannot keep the company of sinners because he is delighting in the law of the Lord. So it works two ways. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 9 and 11. Psalm 119 verse 9 and 11. The Bible said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. He cleans his ways by taking heed to your word. He said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I am hiding your word in my heart so that I don't sin against you. Psalm 119 and in verse 67. Psalm 119 verse 67. The Bible said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. So if we don't keep the word, we will go astray. I went astray, but now I will keep your word. So the easiest way to go astray is to be out of touch with the word. But now, have I kept your word? Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a loud amen. And finally, John chapter 15 verse 3 for this one. John 15 and in verse 3, the Bible said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So the word of God will help maintain godly character. The absence of the word equals bad character. And that is very, very obvious. Very obvious. Finally, number seven. What is the seventh fuel for good character? Is the good conscience. The good conscience. Conscience that is good. Conscience that is awake. Conscience that is healthy. Alive. Good conscience. Conscience awake. Conscience healthy is relevant, is necessary, is critical for godly character. There is a connection between conscience and character. Good conscience equals good character. Bad conscience equals bad character. No conscience equals no character. None at all. There's a connection between conscience and character. Acts chapter 24 verse 16. Paul the apostle said, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men. A conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men. That conscience is helpful. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 3. 1 Timothy 1, 3. 1 Timothy 1, 5. 1:5.
Now the end of the commandment is, the conclusion of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience. That is the conclusion of the commandment. In case you don't know the details of the commandment, possess charity from a pure heart, possess a good conscience, and possess faith that is untainted. That is, that God is real. When you have this, you say you don't need to look for commandment. Pure conscience. Pure conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. The Bible said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away have made a shipwreck. You see, people wreck their lives out of no conscience. They wreck themselves. Their lives are wrecked. Destiny is wrecked where conscience is absent. Finally, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 18. Hebrews 13. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. When the conscience is good, it is easy to live honestly, to live uprightly. When the conscience is good, it is easy to live honestly, to live uprightly. When the conscience is good. Somebody say a loud amen. Two things I'm going to say concerning this conscience in conclusion. One, ensure you maintain good conscience by refusing to live habitually in sin. Ensure you maintain a good conscience by refusing to live in sin. To live in sin. To live in sin. Somebody sent a message today, and I forwarded it to Dr. Mr. Nenche. She said, I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of selling my body. I need to be helped. And we have already counseled with her before, right? Dr. Mr. Nenche spoke with her on the phone. She sent a message. And then I forwarded her message to her, gave her her number to call her. She called her, spoke with her extensively, agreed, you know, on how she can be helped and how she can live right and all of that. She still sent a message today. I'm tired of living in sin. I'm tired of... Yes. I'm tired of something. Then she now wrote, I was molested only for 2,000 naira. She called it molestation. You see, after I finished transportation and everything, I reached home with 100 naira. And the challenge is that the money, and the 2,000 was the challenge. We may not have heard if the money was more. See, molesting my life for only 2,000 naira. Yeah? You see, the man gave me only 2,000 naira. And I reached home only with 100 naira. That was a challenge. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is where the life of sin is a life. It's just a life. That is the life. The conscience cannot be good. I'm saying this not because we intend to look down or mock that person, but just that an attempt was made before. But we are still going to make more attempts. More attempt to be made. More attempt to be made. Refuse to live. Because when it becomes a life, there is no sense of right or wrong anymore. There is no sense of right or wrong anymore. It's normal. Second, ensure that you promptly ensure you maintain a good conscience by repenting and confessing all known sins promptly. All known. Promptly. Money that is not yours entered your hand. In an attempt to make statements, you as lied or something, whatever. Promptly ensure that you maintain a good conscience by repenting and confessing all known sins promptly. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to verse 9. I believe that the Lord will help us in Jesus' precious name. And so first, we must possess the fear of God. Second, love for God. Third, love for man. Fourth, the company of God. Five, the right human company. Six, the word of God. And seven, the good conscience. God shall help us. Somebody receive something tonight, say loud amen. Will you stand up on your feet where you are and lift up your hands? Lift your hands. There is none holy as the Lord. As the Lord, there is none besides thee. Besides thee, neither is there any wrong.